Well, hello, everyone. I'm recording this intro very early in the morning, so please excuse my tired-sounding voice, but I wanted to get this sort of bonus episode out for you guys. What I'm going to be doing, since so many of you have been generous and you're moving over to the $10 tier on Patreon, that's patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. A lot of you guys are really moving up there, and that's awesome, man. It really, really helps me out, and so I want to put more content out for the people that do that. For we did the conversation, a few people showed up, actually really just three people showed up. Everyone RSVP'd, said they were down to talk on the 29th. Only a few of you actually did show up, but I understand, but you know that the offer's there. Last Saturday every month, and we may even do the second and fourth Saturdays now. So just want to make it so that when people are showing up to that $10 tier, that it'll be worth it. You know what I mean? Thinking about setting it up so that there's discounts on the website if you buy merch, and also working on mystery boxes, which would be a separate tier. Maybe you'll get a t-shirt and a book, and like, I'm looking around my house, maybe some dog hair, maybe some fingernails, maybe you'll just get some stuff like that. Okay. Now you'll get some cool stuff. Just trying to figure out what all I want to throw in this first round of boxes. And, if they keep doing well, we'll make some more shit to put in these things. Also every $50 you give on the Patreon, guys, you are, getting a shirt or some sort of, clothing of some kind. Okay. And, it's just, it's a fun thing. So what I'm doing here with this episode, guys, this is with Nico from Upstate Unconventional. Really, really nice dude, all about paranormal stuff, all about spirituality, and really easy dude to talk to. Really nice. He has a past in education. So he's got a good way of just kind of listening and giving his honest opinions in a very nice and professional way. Okay. So the first hour is going to be here for you guys, and the full episode is for the $10 patrons, and I'm going to be doing at least one of those a month where it's like a 2-hour long, more conversational, not necessarily all conspiracy, but just like, all kinds of topics, talking with my friends essentially is what it's going to be. And hopefully you guys will enjoy that, but it will definitely be something that you can just kind of listen to in the background and, get some interesting information from different perspectives. And that's what we do this for. So, again, full 2 hours at least once a month is going to be showing up in that all of the danger tier. So keeping this intro short, guys, here's the first hour with me and Upstate Unconventional's Nico, and hope to see you over there at Patreon, guys. Thanks for your support. All right, folks, here is Nico from Upstate Unconventional. I'm really excited to talk with you, man. We have done one episode together, and then we've done quite a few just, we talk in these other little group chats, whether it's Talk at the Tavern or, Monday Night Master Debaters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. So we're just, always kind of communicating, but it is cool to have like some one-on-one time and just chill, dude. So what's going on with you, man? What's new over there in New York?
Well, in New York, they just ruled that the mask mandate is completely unconstitutional. So it's fun dealing with the school district with that, see how they comply to that.
Yeah, it's a big win for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Because this is the thing, like no one, and I don't really want to talk too much about masks and this type of low vibration stuff, but no one was wearing masks, at least where I am at. It was pretty much done like from the summertime and everything, and then in December they put in this emergency order that everyone had to wear a mask again and all that, and they just ruled it was unconstitutional. So
dude, you have that, and you have OSHA doing the same. Mm-hmm. OSHA supposedly ruled that unconstitutional, and I haven't fact checked this yet, but supposedly the Biden administration is outlawing monoclonal antibodies like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, things like that. And it's interesting, dude. I was actually just talking with one of my buddies. He got COVID for like third time. I don't know what's going on with him. I had it once and I've been good since then. and I can't even prove that I had it. I got really sick back in January of 2020. And so I don't know if that was what it was, but I haven't gotten it. And I'm out and about, dude. I don't wear a mask. I don't wash my hands as often as I should. I know that's gross, but it's just kind of, you know, you forget. And yeah, dude, like I've been good. I've actually sat in with my father in a COVID ward of a hospital. You know, he went to a hospital because he was having some heart palpitations when he was sick with it. And yeah, dude, I'm fine, you know? So I don't know how people get this thing multiple times, but this dude is, you know, he was sick. He was coughing up a storm. And I told him like, hey man, like take some of that horse paste even, and like rub it on your chest or rub it on your hands, rub it on your feet and see what that does. You know what I mean? It's not going to freaking kill you. People act like it's going to kill you to do that. And it seems like I've heard nothing but good things. Of course, not medical advice, but you know, just an interesting deal that they're choosing to ban that now.
Same. I haven't fact checked it, but it wouldn't surprise me. But just the other day, I had to run into Tractor Supply and grab some dog food and stuff. And I just went over to see like the ivermectin and everything. They got it behind the locked door, the glass thing. They got a big sign on it. It's like, not for human consumption. Do not use this. This is not you know, all these like warning signs and stuff. And it's like, I remember because I used to work with horses years ago, like you could just go in and just grab that stuff off the shelf. No one paid any attention to it. Now they have it all locked up and looks like the price went up significantly.
Yeah. So you know,
it's interesting.
I mean, I went and got some at Tractor Supply myself a while ago, probably almost a year ago at this point. And it is kind of weird, dude. You can still absolutely get it. I mean, you can just, you just got to tell them there's no, you don't need a license to own horses or any of that stuff. So, you know, it's just fascinating. We're seeing this whole thing unfold and I think it's ever evolving and it's going to continue, obviously, but we'll see what happens, dude. The reason though, that obviously we were getting together to speak tonight was about spiritual stuff. I mean, this is kind of your go-to topic. This is like your favorite genre of, whether you want to call it conspiratorial, whether you just want to call it, you know, a way of life, this is like your bread and butter. It seems to be something that you're fascinated with. And I think that's great, dude. There's so many different people in different areas of this whole podcast game. And, you know, we've all kind of formed our little cliques, it seems. And there's so many different things. You know, Matt's all obsessed with the old world. I'm obsessed with geopolitics. You're obsessed, it seems, with spirituality. You got Ghost that's just like very good at connecting with people and kind of relating his experiences to what they're going through. I know that we kind of talked about this a little bit, dude, but I just want to kind of confirm, like, and for myself too, why are you so into spirituality? Like, why are you so, you know, it seems like you're really interested in why people think the way that they do. And I know that that was because of your educational background. But yeah, what is it, man? What draws you to this?
So for me, this is all very new to me. A lot of this, the new spiritual stuff I'm kind of diving into. I've always been, well, since like 2013, I kind of dived into religion, I'll say, not spirituality so much, but yeah, spirituality and the paranormal are like, I believe the two are very much entwined. For me, I had some paranormal, very lucid dream that kind of led me down this interesting rabbit hole that I ended up in, like the Hebrew Roots movement. And when I say I ended up in it, I got to be specific. I wasn't like full-fledged into it, but I was really starting to adopt these beliefs and starting to live by a lot of these things. And it just, for lack of a better word, I think it's a cult. And I kind of fell for that. And I noticed it brought no real spiritual value to my life. It was more just, I became someone that was following rules, like, and I thought I was better than people, and I didn't like the way I felt during it. And it was this form of like righteousness that I had for no reason whatsoever. Like, I wasn't being a good person at all. And once I met my wife and had my son and everything, I got out of it and really changed my whole attitude on things. And she was the complete opposite. You know, she was very much into like the new age stuff, yoga, things like that. So at the beginning of our relationship, it kind of caused a little bit of a not a problem, I'm going to say, but there was definitely some tension there on, like, you know, what we were going to do with the kids. Are we going to raise them? What? Because she's also a Catholic too. But so, you know, there's a whole mess of stuff. And like how we ended our last episode, one of the big things that snapped me out of the whole Hebrew roots thing was the whole idea of circumcision, because we were having a boy and we had to make that choice. And something in my heart was like telling me, no, this is not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like going through the scriptures and trying, when I say scriptures, I mean like the Torah and things like that, trying to find a loophole, really. Like, is there something in here that's like, it's kind of metaphorically talking, it's not, but there wasn't, and it's all very cut and dry. And so we kind of got out of that, but I guess I'll back up a little bit. Have you heard my, the lucid dream I had when I was, teaching?
Is this what you're talking about with Matt? When you guys did that other thing? Cause I know that that you guys mentioned a few of your reoccurring dreams. I don't know if this was one of those.
No, this one, well, there's some characters in this dream that did end up reoccurring, but I guess I'll just, I'll say this one. I've told it a couple times.
Yeah.
But I'm sure your audience hasn't heard it. So as we talked about the last time, and this is something that's kind of funny. Like, I think about this probably like once a week from our last, podcast together, where you said, you know, you got to lower your expectations for people. And I'm being 100% honest here. I started really applying it to like some people I deal with like on a daily basis and other family members and stuff. And it's really, I really did. I just lowered the expectation and it's made life a lot better. You know, you don't get as upset with the dumb little interactions you go through with certain people. And I've kind of come to that conclusion, like, these people aren't going to change. I almost think, you know, they're kind of like NPC type people. And I do think about that at least, like,
is it weird to you sometimes to think of, because you mentioned family, you deal mm-hmm. with this with family as well, is it tough for you to think of some family as NPCs? Like, does it bother you, or do you just think like, this is the way it is,
you know? At first it did. I was like, no, you know, you want to like really, they're your family, you know, you want to stick up for them. But then the more I started thinking about it and really like analyzing all of our past, like every interaction we've had throughout the last, you know, 30 years of my life, it's like, it makes sense. It's like, it was just like a nice little bow on the top of the package. It's like, oh, they've never actually been there. You know, they've never fully been there. And in my opinion, we're never going to connect. We're never going to have that, like a conversation like we're having now. Like, I can't have that with 99% of my family. My mom and dad are pretty cool. My brother's pretty on board with just about everything. But yeah, all my cousins and stuff, like, I don't talk to any of them barely ever anymore.
And is it because you don't get along? Like, you don't see these things eye to eye? Or is it because they just don't want to think about these things?
It's hard to explain. So like, I've always been a weirdo, you know what I mean? My family's always looked at me as like a very weird person.
And hey, me too, buddy. Me too.
And I've always been like, just like, kind of like I am on like the talk shows and the round tables and stuff. I'm always very quiet. You know, I just like to sit down and let people talk. I'm not going to, if someone asks me my opinion, I will definitely tell them my opinion, but a lot of the times it does not jive with what they're, you know, talking about. So I've always just kind of been in the background, not getting too involved with affairs and stuff. But once we all started having kids, like the cousins and stuff, like my aunt wanted to start having like these relationships, and then it just, a lot of drama, a lot of different nonsense. So, and yeah, once I started talking, they realized quick, like, we don't meet eye to eye on most topics that we were talking about. So it was just easier to kind of cut them out of my life in a lot of ways. But I still have to interact with people, like through my mom. She's always constantly texting me about stuff my cousins are doing, and it's like, I don't know, you know, it's just one of those things where it's easier for me. And then another big thing too was like, when I met my wife, it caused a lot of weird tension like in my family. My wife is older than me, and for some reason, and I say my wife, but we're not technically married. So, you know, we have a kid together. We've been together for over 6 years now. And yeah, I mean, I'd like to say we're like spiritually married in a sense. Yeah. We're committed. There's no anything, but that just for some reason pissed off a lot of my extended family members, and it caused a weird.
Why? Because she's older.
Older. She had a kid already. She has an adopted son from a previous marriage, and I don't know. It just my family's weird like that, so it just it was easier to just kind of like not deal with that.
Are they Jewish? Because you mentioned the idea of the I forget what you called that, the roots, the Jewish, what was that called?
The Hebrew roots. No, so that, dude, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. We'll dive down.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit. But so. No, I just find it interesting that would be an issue. But if they're more conservative, that would be an issue, I guess, you know. But I think that is, you know, that's on them, right? I mean, that's on them. It's if as long as you're happy and clearly you're not a bad dude. You know, I think that, you know, you seem pretty level-headed. You seem calculated in what you say. And, you know, I can't speak too concretely because I, you know, we met recently and we've talked a handful of times. But yeah, dude, I think that there's something about people. They want to see, they're not lowering their expectations for people, dude. They want you to feel, they want you to sit exactly the way that they see you. You know, if you do anything that's a little bit different than what they expect, it's like, what the fuck is this dude doing? He's messing up.
Yeah. And it's so weird because it's like the best way I can describe it is like small town, like, they're conservative, but they're not really conservative. They don't really know what their true beliefs are. You know what I mean? A lot of my relatives are very, I would say they're kind of followers, you know, they just kind of go with whatever current trend is trending at the moment. And
boomers.
Yeah. And it's just interesting because, like, again, we don't bother anyone. We just want to be left alone. And it's just like dumb little things, you know, like they'll invite us to something, but they'll do it like last minute. And then we can't come because we live like an hour away, and then they get pissed off that we can't. So it's just a whole bunch of nonsense that is ridiculous. But I found that it's much easier to just kind of cut those ties and kind of do your own thing. But yeah, it's just, and the judgmental stuff too, like just strange. Again, it's like, why do you care who I'm with and what we're doing with our family and how we decide to live our life and things like that. So it is what it is. I try not to think too much about it, but going off the Hebrew roots thing. No, that was kind of a big deal because no one in my family's Jewish, and I'll just say it, you know, a lot of my relatives, I'm not going to say racist because it's not really a race, but they're very ignorant to things and they don't like, you know, Jews and things like that, or black people, or, you know, whatever. And so when I started getting into this stuff, it was like, oh, Nico's lost his fucking mind. Like, what the hell is he doing? You know,
why? Cause you were looking into other religions or races or creeds, or, I mean, why?
Yeah, I was looking into the Hebrew roots movement. Okay. So the Hebrew roots movement, from my understanding and what I kind of learned from it and everything, it's a form of Christianity, but they, like they say, it goes back to the Hebrew roots of it. So the whole thing is like, they say that there was no New Testament at the time of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
It was written after the fact. So what was Jesus actually teaching? So they claim that Jesus was teaching straight from the Torah. He was teaching the law and all these things. And, you know, at the time, it sounded right to me, like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense historically. Like, what would he have been teaching? And so I started getting into that, and it kind of goes into like, I fluctuated between like Seventh Day Advent type people and just all those beliefs. And it's, you know, going down the rabbit hole with like the pagan roots behind holidays, things of that nature, all kind of go into this. But I'll tell how I kind of came to it. So I was always I got really into like ancient aliens and things like that, right? Uh-huh. And found it fascinating. I started like putting pieces together, thinking like, oh, you know, I'm Greek, you know, with the Greek mythology and stuff, maybe this kind of makes sense why some of these Greek gods and everything were the way they were. Maybe they were aliens or some type of interdimensional or extraterrestrial being and stuff like that. So I started kind of going down that pretty hardcore and believing all that stuff, the Zachariah Sitchin stuff, the ancient aliens theories.
And not to cut you off, dude, I just actually found a book from him at a used bookstore for like $2. It's like about the genesis of man and aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
yeah,
cool.
It's pretty fascinating stuff. I mean, like, some of it makes sense, but when you think about it, it all kind of goes back to the idea that something created us, you know, like.
It has to be. We're not just some, even if it was just mold, if we grew from mold and we evolved over billions of years, what made that mold, man? You know what I mean? Like
something had to spark something to, you know, start this whole shit show that we live in. But it's just fascinating to me. And then like, I start thinking about evolution and things like, I look at my son, right? From an evolutionary standpoint, it's like, you watch a baby deer or a cow or some type of livestock or animal be born, they can walk within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, a human baby, my son is 4, going to be 5, and he's still, I love him to death, but like in terms of practicality and survivability, I don't see how he could ever survive.
Without you.
Without me or a tribe of people or a family unit. Like it just makes no sense how, for me at least, how this evolution thing could have happened. So I do believe that something maybe altered our DNA or there was some type of creator that started this whole thing. It's just one of those rabbit holes I kind of think about often.
Do you think that the Neanderthals were a thing, like the cavemen and all that stuff?
I do. I do think that it's funny. My wife, her mother actually did one of those ancestry tests, and I did one of those too.
I remember you told us, and Davey was on there. Oh. And it was so funny what he said.
Dude. I know. But yeah, so like my wife's, my mother-in-law, she has some Neanderthal DNA, and I don't think that Neanderthal were anything different. I do believe they were just humans. You know, a lot of people say they're like part ape or part something. I think it was just another faction of humans, another region that people came from. You know, they tend to have like the red hair and things like that. I mean, they might have looked a little different, possibly. They might have had a little different bone structure. I don't really know, because you know, the history is so muddy with all that stuff. But you know, enough people have Neanderthal DNA where I think they had to be mostly human, you know. But yeah. I do believe.
Yeah, dude, I think, you know, it's interesting that you say that, you know, because the classic pictures that we see of these Neanderthals, they're ugly. I mean, they look, mm-hmm. they look like apes, right? They have the unibrows almost. They have really just hard features, the protruding brow, the, you know, their eyes are a little closer together. I think, and this is something that I've thought about actually quite a bit, is like, you know, if everyone came from one set of people, if you're going to follow this Christian idea that, you know, there was Adam and Eve, and then obviously there was a few other people involved too, you know, Lilith was one of these freaky weird characters, but you know, if everyone's coming from Adam and Eve, there's a lot of inbreeding going on back then, right? Mm-hmm. And so these people are gonna look ugly, and you know, people are getting more and more attractive as, you know, the generations kind of, you know, the waters are unmuddied, so to speak. You know, some of the most attractive people are like when a white person gets with like a black person, you know what I mean? And like these mixed kids, if you're pure white, if you're pure English, I mean, just look at the royal family, dude, this is what you get. There's a lot of inbreeding there still, and they are not attractive.
But the whole idea of attractive is very interesting too, because like, sure. if you look back in history, like what was attractive in the 1800s, you know,
big old fat white chicks,
right? Like, so what we think of as attractive nowadays, you know, would that be attractive to someone 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago? It's hard to narrow that down, but I know what you mean though. Like, and I mean, I've read stuff too, like in the next 100 or 200 years, everyone's going to be like a mulatto color, you know. We're all going to be pretty much mixed.
Like, but that South Park, dude, I've been freaking quoting South Park so much, but there's that Gooback episode that they have where it's like everyone speaks these weird languages. It's a mix of every language. They all look the exact same, because it's like, once you get everything, like once everything is unmuddied, everyone's going to look the same. You know what I mean? And it is funny that you bring that up. You know, there was like this idea that, you know, fat women were very attractive back in like the 1700s, 1800s and so on. And then you get really skinny girls are like the hot ones, right? Really like light skin. And now it seems like, you know, mixed chicks with big fat asses are what's hot now, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe the Kardashians, maybe culture kind of kicks that off and really kind of spurs that on. But it's still the status quo. It's, I mean, most people are going to agree that, yeah, Kim Kardashian is hot. Now, you may get your people out there that are like, no, dude, she's fake and blah, blah, blah. Or what, you know, pick one of these celebrity chicks that is widely considered attractive. And then, I mean, people have plastic surgeries just to try and look like these girls. You know what I mean? So there's something to be said about, like, yeah, why do we see this as attractive when it clearly, I mean, now anyone can look any way that they want if they got the money to do it. So,
right.
It's an interesting thing that you just brought up, but yeah, sorry. Yeah,
and then, no, it's fine. I watched something probably a couple years ago now, but it was like the history of sex or something like that. And it's statistically throughout history, the hourglass shape has been a sign of like attractive. You know what I mean? Like symmetry, like someone's face that's very symmetrical is always considered attractive. The hourglass shape on a female is always considered attractive. The kind of triangle shape on a male, like the broader shoulders, is considered more attractive. And it's, I think it does go back from a adaptation type thing. Like if you were in a tribe of people or you're living outside or whatever it is back in the day, you would, the hourglass shape kind of showed, you know, childbearing hips and things like that. And the broad shoulders was a stronger man. You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah,
it is interesting how those kind of, those trends or those, beliefs kind of stick through history, like pretty much universally
and subconsciously, you know? Almost, right?
Yeah, it's like it's burned into our DNA almost, like this is like an attractive mate, like this is someone that's going to bring you children, or you know what I mean? It's very interesting to think about that kind of stuff.
Well, dude, I remember the last time we talked, we got into some weird stuff towards the end, and I figured we might as well just get into the weird stuff right now.
Let's do it.
What do you think the whole homosexuality thing is? You know what I mean? Because I find it fascinating that it goes against nature. It really does. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong. We had this long talk on, I think it was Talk at the Tavern, this last one. I don't think that Ghost has released that yet. But, you know, the way that things are right now versus 200 years ago, the way that we view homosexuality, it's very liberal, right? Like homosexuality is widely accepted. I remember growing up in the 90s, my dad was very skeptical and very sketched out of gay people, right? Gay dudes, especially. It was just like, what the hell's going on here? And now he's totally on board. Like, he's like, yeah, dude, if you know, as long as you're consenting adults, go for it. Right. Now, this was not the case for anyone 100, 200 years ago. Now, it wasn't even the case for everybody in the 90s. And now, yes, there are still some people that are like, now, fuck that, you know, gay people should not be able to marry, whatever. But my point when we were talking over on Ghost's show was that where's pedophilia going to end up in 100 years or 200 years from now? You know what I mean? It seems like this is going to be 100% the same way that we view homosexuality. And again, not bashing gay people, dude. I have gay listeners, lesbian listeners, whatever. I think that, like I said, I view it that way. If you're an adult and you're consenting with another adult, do your thing, man. Shove things inside of each other. Do whatever you want. But where do we draw that line, dude? Are we down a negative track where, you know, pedophilia is being pushed? And where's that going to end up in a few years? But before we get into that, I want to get your take on the homosexuality stuff. Like, is there something traumatic that goes on? Because I have noticed a lot of gay people have traumatic childhoods, right? Whether their parents aren't there, whether the parents are abusive, there seems to be something usually within these gay folks that they had something wrong with them in their childhood, not because of their fault, mostly because of their parents though.
Yeah. And I mean, this might sound unpopular, but I do believe the whole, the gay culture we're seeing now is very, created by culture. You know what I mean? Like they're pushing the whole feminine male, the whole, and that's a whole nother rabbit hole, like these men embracing their feminine sides and things like that, which I think there is a balance that you need to have. I think, you know, men should be a little more compassionate, but at the same time, we do still need men that want to go to war, you know, men that want to be men, do manly things, I guess, is archaic as that might sound, but
I think you're right.
I think homosexuality has been around forever. I mean, we see it throughout history everywhere. You know, I think it is what it is. I have no issues with people being gay whatsoever. I want to put that out there just for the start of it. But at the same time, I at least for men, you know, I look at it as more like recreational. Like, are you really? Because I do believe, like, in our biology, deep down in everyone's DNA, you want to reproduce or you want to have some type of offspring. And I don't know. I think it's, I think a lot of it is manufactured. I think a lot of people, like you said, with this trauma and stuff, they find a community that accepts them and they jump into it, you know?
Yeah.
And again, maybe that's an unpopular belief. And like I said, I have no issues with gay people whatsoever, but I would often wonder and ask, like, how many people are you truly attracted to the other sex? Or is it like just a comfort thing? Like this person, you connected with them and you're just settling for the first thing that comes your way. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you, dude. I've thought the same thing, because a lot of these people are awkward, mm-hmm. You know, especially dudes, like you said. And it's so easy for us guys to be like, dude, why the hell would another, like, would a dude like another dude? But I can kind of understand why a chick would like another chick. You know what I mean? Because that's just the way that we see women. It's like, yeah, there is something clearly attractive about women as a whole. Mm-hmm. Men are so gross, dude. Like, we're just nasty creatures. There's nothing attractive. I've never seen a dude and been like, that's interesting. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing about, we're hairy. We're mm-hmm. fucking, we stink. You know what I mean? We're just gross. But, you know, women like that. Not the stinky part, but, you know, for some reason there's
something with the stink, man. I mean, if you get into the pheromones and everything like that, like it's a real thing. I mean, it goes back to, again, adaptation, evolution, whatever you want to call it. But it is fascinating that you just kind of brought that up, because, like, as gross as it is, man, like, me and my wife, we, you know, we like the way we smell sometimes. Like, there's this weird pheromone connection there. And it might sound nasty, and I mean, we're not like doing nasty things with that, but it's like her body odor doesn't bother me. I'll put it that way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say it's like amazing all the time, but it's like if you walked by me and you stunk, I'd be like, oh, dude, that's nasty. But like, there's something about that connection where when you're with someone and you can stand their BO, there's something to that. So I don't, I mean, if we're going to jump into weird, screwed up topics, let's just go it balls deep into it. But yeah. With the gay thing, I don't know, man. I just, for me, I'm the same way. I've never looked at a man and been like, oh yeah, I want to have sex with that person. Like, that's well, never yeah, crossed or my anything. Mind. Right. It's like, but at the same time too, like if you really want to look at like what we do, I mean, we got a bunch of guys together. We all sit around, we talk on these like Zoom meetings and stuff. Like, from an outside perspective, you know, someone might look at that and be like, that's kind of gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, dude. No, I mean, you know, it's just, that's funny that you say that too. Cause I was just talking about that with the whole, you know, skirmish that went down a while ago. You know, these mm-hmm. people are acting like this whole podcasting thing is like a freaking mafia, and we're a bunch of nerd freak. Like, you know, if this was going on, you know, podcasting has become something that's kind of cool now. A lot of people mm-hmm. enjoy listening, and then, you know, a ton of people are making them now. You know, back the first people that were making podcasts, with the exception of like Rogan and Carolla and all these people, those were hardcore nerds, dude. I mean, like, there was no, they didn't have any real friends in you know, like the real world. They were just freaking out there, you know, kind of like World of Warcraft type shit. You know what I mean? It was all just a bunch of nerds. And, you know, I wanted to kind of go back to one thing that you said about, like, you know, it's instinctive to want to bring children into the world and the kid, you know, pass your genes on and all that stuff. I have always wanted to have a child, but lately I cannot imagine having one, man, because of the state of the world. And the, you know, I dig really deep into these, you know, like I said, geopolitics is like it suits my fancy. I'm fascinated with the way that, you know, these people, it seems like our positions in life are sort of predetermined. You know, that movie Snowpiercer, where everyone has their preordained position and everyone fits in a certain spot. Yes, it's a fictional movie, but we see a lot of these things kind of come to fruition in real life. And, you know, art imitates life and vice versa. I can't imagine bringing a child into the world right now. You said your son's four. Now this is something different because, you know, I'm sure that not a bone in your body regrets having a kid, but are you nervous with the way that the world is?
And dude, honestly, I mean, let's do some shadow work here. You know, I've had this conversation with my wife too. I mean, we're really considering homeschooling for my 4-year-old, you know, and, it's one of those things where we talk sometimes. And like you said, I mean, I would never change it for the world. I love my son to death. You know, he's honestly the best thing that's happened to me ever. But if I went back, I don't know. Would I have a kid? I really don't know if I would.
Wow. That's crazy to hear, dude. That's honest of you. Honestly, I'm not saying that like you're saying anything definitively, but I've just never heard anyone say that. And that's actually really, really cool and interesting that you say that.
And again, I'm saying it from a pure, like, survival kind of shadow work type thing. Like if I had a crystal ball and I knew what was coming down the pike, you know, back in 2016, I don't know if we would have made that decision to have a child. I really don't.
It's fascinating. You know?
And again, I would never change anything for the world. And I hope I don't put any like bad juju or anything out there saying stuff like that, but it's a real, like, I wouldn't have another one. I got a vasectomy after my son was born because I didn't want to have another kid after that, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's something. So like I've had this conversation kind of like with my brother, because, you know, my parents are pushing, my brother's younger than me. He's never had a girlfriend. You know, he's there's no aspects of him having like a child anytime soon.
Really?
And I mean, unless he's got something in the works, but, you know, my mom will say stuff like that. And I'm thinking like, don't push it on him. You know what I mean? Like right now is not really like the best time to do that, you know? And like, I've heard interesting stories, like going back to like my cousins and stuff, they just had a kid, and with all the like shots and things, like, again, it's another one of those things. It's like, I don't know. If I had to start right now and I didn't have a son, I probably would not have a child at this moment in time. But again, I'm in this position now. I have my son. I love him to death. I would never trade anything for the world. So I have to now make sure I make every decision right moving forward. Like, and that's why kind of like homeschooling has popped up as a topic, you know, because I have him in a private preschool right now. And even that's pushing some interesting agendas that I'm not totally cool with, you know, and he still
has examples.
Well, so it's a Catholic school, right? And we're debating if we're going to keep him in the Catholic school or not. Cause again, just from my experience in the public school system, I don't want him going into public school whatsoever. And I thought maybe having him in a private school might be a little better, but I mean, they're doing a unit on polar bears right now, and they're really pushing this climate change agenda thing with 4-year-olds. And it's like, you know, I know it's not true. So it's like, I have to do all this deprogramming with my 4-year-old as soon as he gets home, because he's talking about how all the polar bears are going to die because the ice caps are melting and, you know, the cars are bad for the environment and things like that. And it's like, why are they pushing this at a private school on 4-year-olds? You know, he should be learning his freaking ABCs and learning how to write his name.
And at a Catholic school, you know, a Catholic school, it seems like, you know, climate change is a scientism thing. And it's just, and I say scientism intentionally, not science. It's scientism. Right. It's a religion, it seems, dude, scientism. Mm-hmm. And dude, it's funny, you know, that they choose polar bears to talk about this thing, dude. I'm sure that they're pushing the idea of the polar bear. It's like the Coca-Cola polar bear, this sweet polar bear that's so benign. It's just a really nice little creature that just minds its own business. Dude, polar bears are the most
vicious killers.
Most violent, vicious killers out there, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe take a honey badger or a hippopotamus, which is another one of those cute animals that like will just kill you. But I heard something, you know, polar bears are the only wild animal that'll go out of their way to hunt a human. And yes, it's because of the climate and all these things, but you know, I wonder why they don't take like black bears or grizzly bears or penguins, if we're talking about the ice caps melting, you know, other animals, but they take this, you know, big white bear that looks so nice in the ways that it's seen. That's just not the case, dude. So it's just kind of interesting. Like, it'd be kind of funny to show a group of, you know, 4-year-olds a polar bear freaking mauling a seal and be like, we're trying to save these things. You know what I right. mean? It's like, I understand that, yes, they have their place in nature, but who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like, well, that's my thing.
And that's, again, it's like, well, let's just say all this is real and the climate is heating up and these bears are dying. Why is it that important? You know, I mean, a million species go extinct all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are we fighting so hard? So again, it's just like, it's just disappointing, you know, and they're really pushing. It's just so interesting. They're pushing outer space and planets and stuff at this Catholic school. And I was a flat earther at one point. I'm on the fence now of what it actually is. I'm not going to die on any hills with that, but it's just interesting. All these things that they're pushing in this Catholic school that don't do anything with the Christian faith at all, you know? And it's, yeah, I don't know. So that, and then, you know, there's just different like ideologies, like they're making them wear masks and stuff. And, you know, like I said, it's like, does a 4-year-old really need to wear a mask? And if they start pushing any other mandates or stuff, then we'll probably have to pull the plug and homeschool them. But
well, it's clearly messing with their, it messes with their intelligence. You know what I mean? At that age, you're gauging what people's facial expressions are. And even us as adults, we do this and we're learning every day. But at that age, dude, it's so critical. You know what I mean? It's so critical to know, like, hey, I said this and I said it in this tone. And like, you pick up little micro expressions from people, especially as a child. I feel like you pick those up more.
Well, and it's interesting you bring that up, because my son is, again, I'm not like sitting here bragging, like my son's a genius, but he's a very smart kid. He's one of the biggest kids in his class, but he is over the top now with facial expressions. Like when we're home, I mean, it's like insane. Like he goes like acting almost, you know, with anything. And I think it is like an adaptation from having to wear a mask at school. So when he's talking with us and we're home and he doesn't wear one when we go out and stuff, he's really expressive and over the top. So I wonder if that is like a byproduct of not getting that in the socialization process. And now he's doing, or maybe he's just a goofy kid that likes to do that. I don't know, but it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't know. That's my big problem with it, but I'm just curious as to like how other people, you know, kind of try and guide their kids through life. You know, 2016, 2015, 2014, those are tough times to have kids. And even, you know, after, I think moving forward, unless the stuff that we're seeing out of Canada with the trucker strikes, if these mandates end, I think that maybe it'll be a beautiful time, a truly beautiful time to have kids. But yeah, dude, it's gotta be stressful for new parents and things like that. So I'm holding out, but I'm not saying that I'll never do it. I'll never have a kid. I'd love to have a child. I was about to say, you're lucky that you had a boy. I think that is much easier than a girl. But I'm talking out of line here. I don't know. I've never had either one, but it's at least you can have a boy, and you said he's a big boy too. So it's like, dude, he's probably going to be fine compared to like, you know, you got to worry about girls, dude. Like even my dogs, I got a boy dog and a girl dog. The girl freak, I'm so concerned with what's going on with her. You know what I mean? The boy, I'm just like, oh, he's fine. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's this weird thing. And I think that goes back to some of that old time shit too, where it's like, you know, the men want to protect the women, and it's just crazy, dude. It's a weird little situation that we find ourselves in, but
it is, man. It is, because again, like you said, I'm the same way. It's just like, yeah, he's big, you know, and he's almost as big as his 11-year-old brother. I mean, they're about a foot apart. They have almost the same size shoes. I mean, he's a big kid. He weighs like 65 pounds. He's almost 4 feet tall at 4 years old. So I know he's going to be big, you know. I'm not super tall. I'm 6 foot tall. My wife is 5'6", but she's got big relatives on her side. I have big relatives on my side. So I think he's going to be a tall kid and all that. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm the same way with like my female dog. I'm very, you know, like I don't hit my dogs, but like my big guy, like I'll just, you know, bounce him. You know, if he jumps up, I'll push him down and stuff. But with the female, it's like, you know, it's totally sexist and whatnot, but it's like I'm much more protective of her, and like, oh no, just trying to take like a more loving approach and stuff like that. But yeah, dude, it's interesting. But
I wonder how that ties into evolution too. There's got to be some connection there, but I'm more I wanted to kind of get back to this whole you know, spiritual discussion. You were kind of asking me a little bit about like why I'm leaning towards Christianity and all this shit. The only reason, and it's not a good reason, but the only reason that I'm really kind of leaning into that is because of the persecution and the things that I'm seeing on TV, on the news, on social media, and then looking into like the whole Freemasonry thing, the Freemasonry against the church. I consider both of these organizations pretty evil. I mean, you know, obviously low levels of both of them are benign, right? I mean, low level Freemasons, what do you call them? The lodge down the street from your community is probably full of a lot of people that have good intentions, right? And they probably don't even know the extent of what it's all about. And maybe they do. I mean, maybe I'm ignorant for thinking that these Masons don't even know what they're really up to. But the
it's true. You know, like I've met a few people that are in it. It's more of like a business networking type thing. You know, for these low level people, they go, they give referrals to people. It's like, just like that. It's like networking, you know? And it's like a club, a fraternity type thing. But yeah, I would agree that most lower level people probably have no clue really what's going on behind the scenes. They just may have been in a frat in college or something and wanted to continue on with that, you know?
Well, and when you grow up in those kinds of organizations, like even if it is a fraternity in college, you don't even really look into the negative sides of it, right? Now, I'm not saying fraternities are negative. Now, if we're talking about Skull and Bones or you know, freaking, what was the one? The Sphinx Society out of Pennsylvania. Some of these are pretty darn sinister, right? But then, you know, you have just, you know, at the U of A down the street from me, there's nothing that I know about that's really dark that they're up to with the frats and the sororities. But who am I to say? When you're growing up in these things and you make a lot of friends, you have a lot of positive experiences, there's no reason you want to rock the boat. There's no reason that you want to be like, dude, these guys are up to some shady shit. But, you know, with the Freemasons and the Catholic Church, right? Like the Catholics feel that the whole purpose of the Freemasons was just to ruin organized religion. And, you know, we used to think that organized religion would be the downfall of society. You know, my father said that to me multiple times until social media came around. And he's like, oh, never mind. It's social media. That's going to be what really ruins society. And there's something to be said about the way that the Freemasons and organized religion go at it, because supposedly they think that, you know, Catholics specifically, they think that the goal of Freemasonry is to take a Catholic or a Christian, turn them into a deist, turn that deist into an atheist, and then turn that atheist into a Satanist or a Luciferian. And supposedly they have hard proof that, you know, organized religion isn't the move. Some people will go as far as saying that they have proof that Jesus Christ was never a thing, which, you know, I'm not going to die on that hill. I have no freaking idea. But I do also find the same problems with organized religion, where it's like, are these people just paranoid, man? Like, who cares? Like, can't your religion, if you know the one and true way, the only way to operate in life, can it stand up to a little bit of scrutiny? Can't the Freemasons say that your God or your Messiah is not real and you have some proof yourself, or you have a system that can disprove that? But it just seems like it's all dogma. It's all dogmatic shit where it's like, dude, everyone wants to believe what they want, and people's beliefs are pretty fragile. And that's why they don't want to have discussions and debates. And I think that it's really bad for society as a whole. But I don't know just what your thoughts are on that kind of stuff.
I mean, a lot of that, I think, is kind of like a psyop in a sense. I mean, there's always got to be a boogeyman. So someone's got to be trying to destroy something else. Do I think Freemasons, do some of them probably want to destroy the Catholic Church? Sure. Just like, you know, Catholics want to destroy anything that's not Catholic.
Exactly.
What's so interesting, though, is like my wife grew up Catholic. She went to Catholic school. She's never opened a Bible in her life, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't, if you actually read the Bible, there's a lot in there that pretty much warns you against organized religion. You know, the core message is the church is in the heart. And if you get into some of the like Eastern spirituality stuff, it lines up with the Bible and the whole chakra system, right? The church is in the heart. and you get to heaven, heaven is the third eye and the crown chakra opening up, if you look at it from that perspective. So
interesting.
This is something I'm kind of starting to really look into and see, because, you know, the whole Jacob's ladder thing is going up the spinal cord, things of that nature. Again, I'm very new to this idea, so I'm not an authority to speak on it at all, but it makes sense to me, because, I mean, you can read that it says in any book by Paul, or pretty much, like, you don't need a church to worship God. So the whole idea of going to a church, and I get the whole community sense of it. I get that there's power in prayer and, you know, community and things like that. I'm not bashing that at all. And I think most Catholic people probably are good and have good intentions, or most people that attend any church probably have at least good intentions in their heart. But then, you know, you see the people that go to church on Sundays and they go to the diner afterwards and they harass the shit out of the waitress. And it's like, you know, so it's very hypocritical in a lot of ways. So yeah, I mean, I never had good luck in church. I've never enjoyed it. I was always very scared. I was baptized Greek Orthodox when I was 5 years old, and it was a pretty traumatic event. It's funny now, I can like look back and laugh at it, but, so my parents never had me, baptized or christened or whatever they want to call it. And my grandmother, who was Greek, was not having that. So they made a decision that they were going to have me baptized at 5 years old. And it was supposed to be a very simple thing where the priest was just going to say whatever he says, sprinkle some water on my head and call it a day. Right. And my brother, so I was five and my brother was about three years old. And so they did it together. And my grandmother was like, no, it's got to be done the right way. So I'm standing up there in front of the church, and like my dad's side of the family's on one side, my mom's side, the Greek side, is on the other side. And all of a sudden the priest just like grabs me, right? And they pull this white robe that I was wearing off, and now I'm just in my underwear. I'm wearing freaking Lion King underwear, little what are they called? Tighty whities and stuff. And they're picking me up and they're trying to dunk me in this little bird bath at 5 years old.
By your feet?
They grab me by my arms and my feet, and they're trying to dunk me into this, because my grandmother talked to the priest and was like, no, we're not doing this, like, sprinkle water on his head. That's not how you do it.
Wow.
So they're doing this and I'm freaking out now. So I'm kicking and screaming and just like, so it looks like there's a full blown exorcism going on in the church. My dad's side of the family is like appalled and freaking out. And then the Greek side goes like full gladiator style, and they're like screaming and like, yeah, do it. So it's just absolute insanity in the church.
Way.
And then they put the communion in my mouth and I spit it out. I mean, it was a nightmare, right? And then I run out of the church, like it all the way down the aisle into the front. My mom's chasing after me. They like find a towel somewhere and they're drying me off. It was just an absolute nightmare, dude. And so like my brother's freaking out too. Now he was like 3 years old. He's starting to cause a scene. It was just a total nightmare.
Damn, dude. That is fucking nuts, honestly. Like, and you remember that still?
It's probably one of the first memories I have. And this is another interesting thing, like with childhood memories. I don't know how you are with this, but I don't remember, like, I had a good childhood. Let me just start with that. I never really lacked anything. I wasn't, you know, my family's middle class. We had basically anything we wanted, but I don't have any good memories of childhood. Everything is very, it's a moment of me crying. It's a moment of shame. It's something like that. And I don't know if that's just me or if it's something that we kind of do as a culture, but I don't have a whole lot of good memories from childhood.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. So that's something I'm kind of like working through, but
man, that's funny, dude. I you know, it is kind of good that you can laugh about that, 'cause it is kind of like, it seems traumatic as hell, dude. But yeah, you would seem that you would, honestly, as a child, I think that most people remember more of the negative stuff. One of my first memories was in Disneyland riding the Pinocchio ride, and this whale, you know, the whale that swallows mm-hmm. Pinocchio or whatever, pops up and looks like it's going to eat you when you're driving by in the car. That was one of my first memories, and it scared the shit out of me. You know, but yeah, it was like negative things that you remember. I remember sitting on Santa's lap screaming as a you know, young toddler and things. But yeah, same here, dude. Not too many positive things I remember as a child. And I had a great childhood. My parents are super supportive of everything that I do, and they're extremely, extremely good. I couldn't ask for better parents, but yeah, dude, there's something about just like getting the shit scared out of you when you're a kid. You remember that. That stuff sticks with you. And same as an adult, dude. Like you remember, you never forget things that scare you. You know, fear is a much more, it's probably the most potent emotion that you can have, right? I mean, like, I know when you're talking about like the stock market, that's why like the market will fall quicker than it rises. You know, you can wipe out years of gains in days just because fear is a much more potent emotion than greed, even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, fear sticks with us, dude.
And it's interesting too. Even like with like social media and stuff, you can get 100 comments that are all positive. Like,
yeah,
you know, you get one negative one though. That's the one you remember. And it's like, and I think that's why fear, like you said, is such a powerful tool. And that's why these, whoever is in charge, elites, whatever you want to call them, that's why they really push it so hard. And it kind of goes back to like the religion too. Like, true spirituality to me is escaping from fear. And every experience I've dealt with in a church, or people I know that go to church, it's all very fear-based. You know, you got to do this or you're going to hell. You got to do this or you're, you know, you got to follow this rule. You got to live this righteous way. And to me, I think I want to get your opinion on this, because I do believe that we innately, and maybe some people don't, I think we innately have a good moral compass as human beings. You know, like even my 4-year-old, he'll know if he does something wrong without me telling him. Like, and I don't know if that's just social conditioning, if it's just me raising him right, but like he knows when he does something wrong, because like even a dog knows when they do something wrong.
You took the words right out of my mouth, dude. I was gonna say the exact same thing. Like, a dog can take some food off your plate and it knows that it fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to say anything. You can just like kind of like barely, when you look over and the dog's already like, you know, crouching down. It's like, oh shit. As far as, you know, people having a good moral compass, I do think that that's true, man. You know, I used to not think that. I used to think that people were kind of inherently bad and they needed religion. But I think that that is social conditioning. I think that the reason that we think that we need religion is because of this fear tactic that hell's a thing, right? You can make murder 100% legal, and I wouldn't want to kill anybody. You know what I mean? Personally. Now, some people may want to. I would imagine, as bad as it sounds to say, I'm sure that murder is probably one of the most addictive things that you can get into, right? If someone was to kill somebody, I could see why that might be a rush for someone that is off, right? I don't know if you ever used to like burn Pokemon cards or like a pyromaniac type shit. Like I used to take baseball cards and Pokemon cards and just burn them and just like be infatuated with the flames. And I was like, oh my God, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but dude, like I would literally take like some great Pokemon cards that I had and burn them, because it was like, that was like my version of like something really bad that I was doing. And I knew that I liked these things, but it was like, fuck yeah, I'm doing something bad. And it was like, you know, that whole rebellious thing of like a kid growing up in the 90s and all that shit. But yeah, I think that people tend to be good. You can make meth legal. You can make coke legal. I wouldn't want to do any of that stuff. I've still never tried cocaine in my entire life. Part of the reason is because I think I'd like it. I'd probably get addicted to it. So I haven't done it. But there are different personality types out there, right? Maybe you make meth legal and meth becomes the worst freaking thing, you know, the worst epidemic that we ever have.
It could, because, you know, people do drink still and people die of alcohol all the time. It's so funny.
I like my booze.
I did too back in the day.
You quit? But, well, that's good.
Yeah. That's another story we can get into, because it kind of goes on with the spiritual stuff too. But yeah, man, it's so funny because I was the complete opposite, dude. I was so like obsessed with like my toys and my personal things as a little kid. Like they were like little treasures I held. But something with the fire, like you always used to go camping growing up, and yeah, there is something very primal and infatuating with lighting things on fire. it's maybe that makes us sound like sociopaths or psychopaths or whatever, but I mean, fire is like a gun, you know, it it can be good or it could be bad. If you use fire to burn down someone's house, it's a bad thing. If you're using fire to warm your house to keep your family warm in the winter, it's a great thing. So
cook food,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's just very fascinating. And I can only imagine, I try to put myself into like scenarios, like thinking like a primitive man, like finding fire. Like this is your life. Like this is what's gonna, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't want that fire to burn out. Like if lightning strikes and you see that shit, you're trying to do what you can to keep that fire going. And yeah, dude, like to the point of camping. All right, the rest of the conversation is over at patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast under the $10 tier, along with lots of other bonus content that is going to be coming around for all of you hardcore DWP supporters. So hope to see you there, guys, and thank you so much for your support.